The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. Before I get to The Big Lead here, some guy... Nicole, what is it going to take for me to get a blue check mark?
I asked for help with that just a couple weeks ago, and it's still not working, but we're going to get it.
I just, oh, darn it. I saw a guy who's got a blue check mark, and my personal and our show, I got like 20,000 followers.
Well, you can't combine the two.
I know, but still.
But yes, we have plenty.
Yes. So some guy who's got a blue check mark, he's put out a list of the worst people in Seattle for 2019. I thought I would share it with you. Number one, Jeff Bezos, he says, is number one worst person in Seattle. Yeah, creating a bunch of jobs and tax revenues. Evil. Number two, Howard Schultz. Number three, Tim Burgess. Tim Burgess isn't on the council anymore. Seemed to be one of the semi-reasonable people on the council. Number four, David Preston and Ari Hoffman. David Preston, who's he? Was he on with the Weekly?
No, he's Safe Seattle.
Oh, Safe Seattle. Oh, okay. All right, David Preston and Ari Hoffman, because they point out a lot of crime in Seattle. Number five, Jenny Durkin. Number six, serial accused sex offender Dave Meinert. Number seven, stranger writer Katie Herzog. Number eight, failed city council candidate Chris Rufo. Number nine, Guy Palumbo. Who's that? Didn't he have a detective show named after him in the 70s?
I'm not sure who that is.
Guy Palumbo is the ninth worst person in Seattle for 2019.
Talking about Palumbo?
No. Washington State Senator.
Guy Palumbo?
Yep.
Is a state senator? Wow. Anyway, the 10th worst person in Seattle in 2019, Dory Monson.
Which technically, there was a tie in there, so that makes you 11, I think. But
I guess that's true. But then he put next to my name, Emeritus.
Yeah, you're...
Like, I'm getting a lifetime achievement placing on the list.
Is that what that means?
Yeah.
I thought it was you're a newbie to the list.
No.
Somehow.
No, it's like if you're a professor emeritus, you are recognized for that because of your longevity and your standing in the community.
Oh.
So we tried to get this guy to come on the show, and then I thought this was a little snide. He posted you made a very nice request asking him to come on the show, and then he posted that on his Twitter responses and said
it's
he's
funny
getting
how
passed.
I predict these things too, because I was writing that email and I was gonna joke around with him. I thought he might have a sense of humor. He actually is a comedian in the area, I guess. I thought he might have a sense of humor about it, and I had written out a couple jokes within my within my request or offer to have him on the show, and I told my roommate, I said, you know what, I'm taking this out because I bet he'll use this against me. I bet he's going to share this with his audience.
Well,
and then this morning, sure enough, he copied and pasted and put it on Twitter.
But I don't mind being named the 10th worst person in Seattle.
I know. I was just going to have fun with it.
Yeah, of course.
But I know he would take that as, you know, we're just something stupid. That glad to be... whatever on his list.
No, I appreciate that he's giving me emeritus standing on the worst person in Seattle list. But I should be ahead of some of these people. The other thing I was going to ask is I would be curious what I've done that qualifies me as one of the 10 worst people in Seattle. I mean, I don't cheat on my wife. I'm nice to most of my coworkers.
Yeah, right. Ed Murray not on the list.
Well, no, but he's old news. Ed Murray shouldn't be
this
on a 2019
year?
List.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there are people every day who are, you know, driving cars and killing people and are selling drugs And I'm one of the 10 worst people in Seattle. So I just wanted to know the criteria that got me on that list. That's all I wanted to ask the guy, because, frankly, I'd like to move up in the 2020 list next year. And I need to know how I can get ahead of Guy Palumbo. I don't even know anything. I don't even know who Guy Palumbo is. But the fact that he beat me at anything, even if it's the worst person in Seattle list, that kind of annoys me. So anyway, I wish the guy who created the list, who has a blue check mark, I wish he'd come on. I'd like to just find out more about how I got to be one of the 10 worst people in Seattle.
And to be clear, he didn't even respond to my email. He just took a screenshot of it.
He posted your email and said, I think I'll pass.
On Twitter.
Yeah. So anyway, hey, let me know what I did to get on the 10 worst person list. There are a lot of child rapists. There's the serial accused sex offender on the list ahead of me, Dave Minert. I get that. I'd put him up ahead of me. What's Jeff Bezos done other than create a bunch of jobs and a bunch of tax revenues? Howard Schultz. Howard Schultz belonged on the 2007 list or whenever it was that he sold out the Sonics to Oklahoma City. But what's Howard Schultz done this year to make him one of the worst?
Durkin makes it, but the council, no council member there other than, what's his name, former council member?
Yeah, Burgess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, Shama Sawant? I'm worse than Shama Sawant?
See, that's how biased the list is, obviously.
You know
because
what?
Because if you have Bezos is number one and Sawant doesn't make it, you're...
I don't know.
The credibility of the list.
I just want to be up higher on any list. I'm very competitive, even if it's a list of the worst people in Seattle. And then I saw this, and I would love if my listeners would help me out with this. The Seattle Times posted something this morning. The headline, nominate the people who have had the greatest impact on Seattle this decade. Who's had more of an impact than our radio show? So they have a little nomination form there. I would appreciate it if you would come on or go to the Seattle Times and nominate us for who's had the greatest impact on Seattle in the last decade. I mean, we've been watchdogging all of the craziness. We're trying to stand up against the drugs and the insane politics and the rampant taxation. We've tried to really make an impact. I'm kind of proud. I'm very proud of the impact our show has had in the last decade here in Seattle. And then, there's other stuff we do too. So yeah, I want to get higher on next year's worst person in Seattle list and go nominate us for the greatest impact people in Seattle this decade at the Seattle Times. I'd really appreciate that. And with that, I said I had one other thing I promised that I would do before I get into the big lead here. So a couple of days, last weekend, Chris Rock, he owns a bar and eatery in Detroit. And he went up on stage. He sounded drunk. He went on a profane rant that some people were calling racist, although there's nothing racist about his rant.
I'm just an honest guy that says, hey, I'm like over 134 Joy Behar.
Yeah, he doesn't like Oprah Winfrey or Joy Behar. So obviously it's not a racist rant because got one black woman, one white woman in there. So anyway, he's drunk. He's just ranting. And then finally, one of his associates dragged him off the stage because they thought, this could get to be trouble. Well, now today, there's an update. Kid Rock will not renew his licensing agreement for Kid Rock's Made in Detroit restaurant, the owners of the sports arena in which it's housed said today. The news comes after the singer and musician was recently filmed delivering a vulgarity-laced rant against Oprah Winfrey. Well, also Joy Behar. I don't know why you leave her out of this. But I can't believe this. They said that Kid Rock decided not to renew the deal that comes up in April. It's in the basketball and hockey arena there in Detroit. It said that the owners of the arena had been in contact with Kid Rock. Yeah, like a rock star saying something outrageous while drunk on stage. That never happens. I don't believe that that's why this place is closing, because a rock star drunkenly said something that was off color. It's obviously has to be closing because it's not making numbers. And this little viral video from last weekend, they don't make long-range decisions on a 30-second video clip by a rock star. That's just silliness. But they're trying to tie the two together now. Okay, with all that as mere prelude, let's get to the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
Well, the battle over $30 car tabs continues, and our attorney general. Now, it certainly looks and sounds to me as if Attorney General Bob Ferguson may have sabotaged $30 tabs. Now he is forced to defend the will of the voters. And so Bob Ferguson has asked the courts to let the car tab cuts happen. And to have $30 tabs was supposed to start tomorrow. So I want you to think about this. For the thousands of people who are getting car tab bills starting tomorrow, and it should be $30 as per the will of the voters, instead, they're still going to have to pay $300, $400, $500, $600. Now, Tim Iman has asked for civil disobedience, and he's asked for everybody to not pay their car tab bills, to just drive around with expired tabs and hope that the cops will show you mercy. Because I will tell you, I know a lot of cops, and most of them are far more fiscally conservative than our politicians. But can the cops, as a political statement, choose to not write you up for expired tabs? Then the cops are going to get in trouble if they do that. But Bob Ferguson now has asked the state Supreme Court to allow the $30 tabs to be implemented as the voters voted for, despite that King County judge. And what a sham that was. That King County was the plaintiff to try to overturn $30 tabs, and it was heard in a King County court by a King County judge who has sworn his allegiance to King County in voter statements in the past. Of course, that King County judge is going to rule in favor of King County. And it's another big screw you to the voters that's going on here. Next up in the big lead.
The big lead. Your tax dollars at work.
Yeah, and while we have spoken loud and clear that we want, for a change, a little tax savings with $30 tabs, meanwhile, our public lands commissioner, Hillary France, says she is asking for a new tax to help protect Washington during the upcoming wildfire season. She wants to add $12 a year to your property taxes for the average household. Now, I want you to remember, when they say that, that means in the Puget Sound area, it's probably $20-$25 a year. Because she's meaning this statewide, and property values in the Puget Sound area are often double, triple what they are elsewhere in the state. So you're talking about $20-$25-$30. Will somebody explain to me how taxing us is going to stop wildfires? And if the work that needs to be done to stop wildfires, we have a $54 billion state budget. She says that she's hoping to raise $63 million a year with this tax. You're telling me that these bums down in Olympia can't find $63 million in cuts? And I've told you, I can find it in 2 seconds. Privatize Evergreen State College, which has had so much enrollment attrition that it is now the size of a 3A high school. And we spend $60 million a year on the most radical leftist college institution in the United States of America. I've said it a million times. There's no way Washington taxpayers would be asked to fund the most radical right-wing college in the country. And yet, we are made to support Evergreen, which is a joke of a university, has the most clownish university president, George Bridges, in all of higher academia. And where would money be better spent? Doing whatever Hillary Franz wants to do to go clear some underbrush and do some fire stops proactively, or spending it on a radical institution that is, and there are some nice kids who go to Evergreen. It's also a refuge for a lot of people who just can't make it elsewhere. Not everybody, but that's essentially what Evergreen's become. What's more important, funding a radical institution or preventing wildfires? But this is how we play it here in Washington. They say, well, we really need Evergreen State. And they say, but you hate wildfires, don't you? Raise your property taxes. Hillary Franz, she said that it's going to be a wildfire crisis in the next year.
We're here today, firefighters, legislators, environmentalists, and public health advocates, because Washington State has a wildfire crisis.
Yeah, she says we're going to see a lot more of them, too.
We will continue to see catastrophic larger wildfire seasons, and what we are seeing in California.
I guarantee you, we spend $63 million tax dollars on whatever she wants to do. It's not going to change the wildfire season at all. At all. They make these dire proclamations, and then they're never held accountable when they get their tax hike and the fire still happens. It's amazing. Not the game that they play, but the fact that so many taxpayers and voters remain such chumps when it comes to being played like that. And that is your big lead this week.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Woo! Yeah, lots more to do. We're going to check the news for you. And then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio next. Well, it is that time of the day when we like to count down our very favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
At number three, we say that Russell Wilson's having just a killer season. But we don't want him to be endorsed by actual killers. O.J. Simpson posted a video on Twitter where he was praising our Seahawks quarterback.
Number three.
But watching that game last night, something came to me. I attended my first professional game, 49ers, in 1957. 62 years ago. Since that time, of course, I played 11 years in the NFL. I've worked the sidelines. I've been worked in the studio. I've watched football. I have never, ever seen a player more valuable to his team winning than Russell Wilson. The man has been incredible. Now, going into last night, I had Lamar Jackson as my leader for MVP. Nobody gives you more oohs and ahs and oh my God, then Lamar. But after last night, I got to say these two guys are dead even. And the next 4 weeks are going to tell us.
Is it creepy to hear OJ call two people dead even? Yeah. We don't need your support, OJ. Okay, number two, Hillary Clinton went on Howard Stern's show this morning. And in it, she volunteered a very important and useful piece of information. Hillary Clinton, she tells us, is not a lesbian.
Number two.
And he was so handsome. He was really handsome.
Really?
Really handsome. Yeah, he looked like...
Oh, she's talking about some guy she dated right before Bill.
A Greek god. He was really handsome.
No kidding. Mm. Greek god.
Yeah, he's very attractive.
Well, I don't know. I'd listen to you.
Well, contrary to what you may hear, I actually like men.
Oh, right, yeah. That's the other thing.
That's the other thing.
Raise your right hand. Yeah. You've never had a lesbian affair.
Never even been tempted.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. If you do have strong relationships with women, friendships.
I do.
You know, and guys can pal around all they want, and that doesn't cause suspicion.
Right.
When women do it, all of a sudden there might be something to
everything
look
at. We do can cause suspicion, apparently.
Okay. Hillary's straight. Who would have guessed? And at number one, during these ridiculous, insane, unfathomably boring impeachment hearings today that are going to go nowhere and will mean nothing in the grand scheme of things because everybody's voting on party lines. It's the most useless proceeding imaginable. But a Stanford law professor named Pamela Karlan just once again gave a glimpse of how the deranged leftists, just what they feel in their hearts, as she brought up her little joke about the president's 13-year-old son.
Number one.
What comparisons, Professor Karlan, can we make between kings that the framers were afraid of and the president's conduct today?
So kings could do no wrong because the king's word was law. And contrary to what President Trump has said, Article 2 does not give him the power to do anything he wants. And I'll just give you one example that shows you the difference between him and a king, which is the Constitution says there can be no titles of nobility. So while the president can name his son Baron, he can't make him a baron.
What a horrible person. And, you know, it made people laugh. And by the way, how scripted was that? Whoever was asking the question, obviously that was scripted. The response was scripted to drag the president's 13-year-old kid. And Congressman Matt Gaetz, he wasn't very impressed with this. He's a Republican, and he wasn't very impressed with them dragging a 13-year-old kid. Can you imagine if a Republican had done that with one of Obama's two daughters? Can you imagine? But Democrats, their hearts, these impeachment Democrats, their hearts are so unspeakably dark that they don't mind dragging a 13-year-old child into their nonsense. And Matt Gaetz called him out on it, too. Oops, here's Matt Gaetz.
You may not see this from, you know, like the ivory towers of your law school, but it makes actual people in this country
when
feel like,
excuse me,
you don't get to interrupt me on this time. Now, let me also suggest that when you invoke the president's son's name here, when you try to make a little joke out of referencing Barron Trump, that does not lend credibility to your argument. It makes you look mean. It makes you look like you're attacking someone's family, the minor child of the president of the United States. So let's see if we can get into the facts. To all of the witnesses, if you have personal knowledge of a single material fact in the Schiff report, please raise your hand. And let the record reflect, no personal knowledge of a single fact. And you know what? That continues on the tradition that we saw from Adam Schiff.
Yeah, but they were able to structure a scripted question and response, drag a 13-year-old son into it. And the president's wife, Melania, has responded on Twitter saying a minor child deserves privacy and should be kept out of politics. Pamela Karlan, you should be ashamed of your very angry and obviously biased public pandering and using a child to do it. Absolutely classless. Those are our favorite sound bites of the day. Today's sign is next. Down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. And still so much more to do as I present today's edition of
Today's Sign that the end is near.
Today's sign, the world's soon coming to an end. Everything's upside down. Everything's completely upside down. An elementary school has banned Christmas cards because they apparently aren't very eco-friendly. The principal of Belton Lake Elementary School decided to ban Christmas cards after a group of students reportedly approached him with their worries about the impact of sending Christmas cards on the environment. And so the principal has banned students from sending Christmas cards to each other. Yeah, the brainwashing of our children, the global warming cult brainwashing that begins in preschool, it is almost complete now. But everything's upside down. At the same time, we're banning Christmas cards because they're bad for the environment. Amazon has sparked outrage after selling Holocaust-themed Christmas ornaments. Everything's upside down. The company began selling these Christmas ornaments and bottle openers. And by the way, nothing says Christmas like a bottle opener. Decorated with images of the Auschwitz concentration camp. The Auschwitz ornaments include an image of the train tracks leading to the entrance of the concentration camp and an image of the barracks where prisoners were housed. According to the Jewish Telegraph Agency, at least one of the Christmas tree decorations was printed on an ornament shaped like a Star of David. I guess the only justice when we hear about stories like this is the people behind stuff like that, they're not going to have a very good afterlife. Today's side story number two, Dateline Indiana, the Hoosier State, where police are searching for a suspect who is alleged to be involved in a high-speed pursuit. He should be easily recognizable. I was looking at a mugshot from one of his prior crimes. 38-year-old Donald Murray is the guy they're looking for. He led the officers on a high-speed chase over the weekend. But when they ask for the public's help in finding this guy, he has tattooed across his forehead in huge block letters that cover his entire forehead the words, "Crime pays." Who's the tattoo artist who said, "Yeah, I'll do the crime pays across your forehead"? Because you've pretty much guaranteed what the rest of your life is going to be like when you get a crime pays tattoo on your forehead. You're not going to be real employable. People aren't going to want to hire you to be their receptionist or cashier at the fast food joint. It's like you see these guys. I saw a guy at Home Depot a few years ago, and he had a big neck tattoo that said "loser." And I was thinking, well, there's your self-fulfilling prophecy come to life there. So anyway, kids, don't put huge block letter tattoos on your forehead. But if you see somebody with a forehead tattoo that says "crime pays," please contact Indiana police. All right, and then finally in today's sign, amidst rumors that he's dying, Willie Nelson says that he has no plans to stop touring, but he has stopped smoking marijuana. One of the biggest advocates for smoking dope over the last several decades. He said that even at age 86, he plans to keep doing shows. He says he loves riding on the bus. Now, those bus rides, from everything I'd heard, it used to be just a hot box rolling down the road because he would smoke a ton of weed when on the road. But he says that he enjoys riding the bus. He says he loves doing shows. When he performs, it's only about an hour long, but he said it's an energy exchange. The audience gives me a lot of positive energy, and I hope to give them a lot of positive energy. But there have been a lot of health issues. He's had to cancel shows, and he said, "I have abused my lungs quite a bit in the past, so breathing is more difficult these days, and I have to be careful." And he says smoking almost killed him, and so he's made a decision to not smoke anymore. He says at age 86, he's going to start taking better care of himself. So Here in a state where marijuana is legal, just be aware that if you're smoking, when you're in your mid-80s, you may start developing some problems from it. I've never smoked anything. Never taken a puff of marijuana or a cigarette. The whole thought disgusts me. So I should live to be, what, 200 then? All of this is today's sign. The end is near. And I got to get out of here. I've said everything I have to say for today. Well, go home, think up a bunch of great stuff for our Thursday show. Candy, Mike, and Todd are coming up next, and I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Hoodles.
Sadly in search of, and one step and back of themselves and their slow moving dreams. Sadly in search of.
I don't like my job, and I don't think I'm going to go anymore.
You're just not going to go?
Yeah.
Won't you get fired?
I don't know, but I really don't like it, and I'm not going to go.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.